Well, good morning. It has been good to worship with you guys this morning. Thank you, Brett. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. My name is Gary, and I joyfully serve as the senior pastor here at White Plains. And I want to say a special welcome to you if you're new to us. Welcome. Welcome to our church. You are an answer to prayer. I've been praying for you and your family this week, and I hope that you find our church to be a warm and welcoming group of people. Thank you for being here with us this morning, kids. It's always good to see you all here this morning. It's good to see you at church. I want to show you some pictures of some things we've got going on upstairs, and we're making larger dedicated ministry spaces for our kids' church area and our Sunday school in the kids' area. This is exciting. We're going to be up there soon. We're just a few weeks away. We're almost ready to move in. I can't wait. We're going to be having so much fun upstairs, which is just right over there, if you're wondering where those places are. We're going to have so much fun. I'm praying that God will use these new spaces for our kids and our students to really show them how much God loves them and what He wants for them and from them. And one more thing I want to mention to our kids is this Friday is our first outdoor movie night, and I'm excited about this. We're going to have three of these over the summer, and this weekend, this Friday, is our first one. We're going to have popcorn, we're going to have cotton candy, we're going to have inflatables, the playground will be open, and then we've got a big inflatable screen with a movie, Ralph Breaks the Internet. It's going to be fun to be out there in our backyard, back that way. You're probably going to be able to stay up past your bedtime, too, if you come, because it's outside. We can't start the movie till about dark, and 8 o'clock is when the movie will start, so you'll be able to stick around and stay. I hope you can invite your cousins or family or neighbor or friends, I hope that's going to be a fun time that you'll want to be a part of. So, kids, I'll go ahead and dismiss you to Kids Church. Kids Church is for kids in kindergarten through 6th grade. Parents and guardians, you'll be able to pick up the kids just inside the chapel building, the back door over there. That building will be locked and secured as soon as they get over there. And as they're leaving, I want to draw your attention to our next sermon series that's coming up next week. I'm calling this Summer in the Psalms with a subtitle of Getting to Know God in the Psalms. This will start next week, and I'm trusting that you will be bringing friends and families to our outdoor movie nights this summer. I'm also trusting God that He will use those times to maybe bring some of them to our church services on Sunday mornings. And so over the summer, I want us to spend some time getting to know God, and we're going to do that through the Psalms. Be a really good place for folks who don't know anything about God to discover some stuff about God. If you know about God, you're going to get to know God better through the Psalms this summer. It's a beautiful book, and the Psalms are somewhat unique in the Bible. It's a different kind of book than most of the other ones, because in the Psalms, we find God's words to us that go back to Him. When you think of the Psalms, that's what it is. It's God's words to us, but they go back to Him. Most of the Bible is words written to us. That is humanity. That is God's creation. But the Psalms are different. They are written to us, but they're also words written back to God. And we can really get to know God in the Psalms because of this. They are words to us, back to Him. And I'm looking forward to spending 10 weeks over looking at the Psalms, getting to know God together better with you. But today, we're going to finish our current series, and this is How to Change Your World in Just 20 Minutes a Day, where I'm teaching you about the Bible. I've been speaking from the Bible, and through this series, I've been teaching you, that's the devotional Bible study method is outlined in Rick Warren's Bible Study Methods book. Now, we've added some stuff over the few weeks that we've been in the series to that method, and this series has a 40-day challenge that's been attached to it. I've been encouraged by the conversations that I've had with many of you about you going through this Bible reading challenge together with me, and it's designed to build a habit over 40 days to allow you to spend 20 minutes a day reading and studying God's Word. Now, this challenge can be started anytime. If you missed it or if you've missed a few weeks, I would encourage you to start it or pick it back up. You can also use this challenge to disciple a younger believer, help them to get acquainted with God's Word. The website link is in your bulletin. It's whiteplains.church/Bible. And we're going to be in Psalm 119 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 17 through 24. Now, throughout this series, we have covered some pretty heavy theological concepts. We have talked a lot about some theology that that just bubbles up as we talk about God's Word. We've addressed the inspiration of Scripture, or where do we get our Bible? Where did our Bible come from? Last week, we discussed hermeneutics, or how do we interpret what we read in the Bible? We've also discussed apologetics. How do we defend what we believe in the Bible? We also discovered the two main Bible translation philosophies, and I showed you on a scale where your preferred Bible lands, whether it's a word-for-word type of translation or a meaning-for-meaning type of translation. All of this has been good. All of this has been beneficial for us as we come to know God in Scripture, come to learn more from Him in His Word. It's been beneficial to us, but the promise of this series was not that, was not to learn a bunch of theology stuff. I made the promise that the Bible will change your world. That's the promise, and that's the topic for today. How do we take all that we've learned in Scripture, how do we take all this stuff, all this work that we've done over the past few weeks, and put it to actually change our world? Let's look at Psalm 119, 17 through 24. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with the longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones, who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies, even the princes set plotting against me. Your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for this psalm. And Lord, let this be true of us as we look into your word. May they be a delight to us. May we be consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. God, you are good to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So how to change your world in just 20 minutes a day. This has been the theme of the past 6 weeks. If you've been following along in the Bible reading challenge, have you began to see change in your world? Have you grown in your understanding of who Jesus is as you spent time in the Gospel of John as we started off that Bible reading challenge? Have you deepened your exposure to the theology of Paul as we're reading through Romans currently? This week, we're going to begin reading through Peter's theology as he writes to the dispersed Christians in the area between the Black Sea and the Mediterranean Sea, just northwest of Israel. The process of changing your world begins with knowledge. It begins with knowing who God is, who Jesus is, what he did, why he did it. Changing your world goes from knowing these things to seeing what do they mean, to understanding them. This is what we're doing as we read through Romans and on to 1 Peter. We're basically take what we find in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says some stuff about who he is, we take that, and if all that is true about Jesus, then in Romans and now in 1 Peter this week, what does that mean? What does this knowledge about Jesus mean for us? How do we live that out? We go from knowledge to understanding. But we don't stop with understanding. Look with me at James 1, 19 through 25. And just keep this open. We'll be here for a little while this morning. James 1, 19 through 25. Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. To change your world, you go from knowledge that you find in God's word to understanding it by connecting truth to application. But to really change your world, you move from understanding to action. When you start doing what the Bible says, your world begins to change. I promise. In my study this week, I found this illustration, and I thought it was helpful, so I wanted to share it with you this morning. Here, I've got a glass of water. Now, you're familiar with a glass of water. You know what it looks like. You know what it smells like, and you know what it tastes like. Right? This is not new to you. This water represents your life. Here is a tea bag. Now, this bag represents the Bible. When you spend time in life and life happens and you decide you need to put some of God's word in your life, here's what happens. Not much. If you spend time living your life and life goes by and you don't have God's word in your life, nothing happens either. But sometimes life will happen. You'll occasionally put God's word in your life, but nothing really happens, does it? So this is what happens when we just spend time with God's word occasionally, not much. But what happens to our lives when we spend a lot of time with God's word? You begin to see a little bit of change, don't you? This is us spending regular time with God, reading, studying, figuring out what it means, how to apply God's word to our lives, and then also doing God's word. You begin to notice that I can see it. Can you see the change here, what's happening with this? When you spend time with God's word, this is what happens. It begins to change, doesn't it? Now, when you hold this glass, it looks different. It smells different. It begins to taste a little different. The water is changing. Our lives change when God's word is in our life. Try that at home if you don't believe. I'm not doing any magic up here. When we soak our lives with God's word, we change. That water has changed. It looks different. It smells different. It tastes different. Let's look again to that passage in James. And so what does a different world look like for you? In James, let me read it again. James 1, 19 through 25. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If you're ready for your world to change, James has great instructions for the Christians. Now, these words that we're about to discuss here in James might be a bit difficult. They might sound like works. James is a little bit unique also in the Bible. He sounds a little different than the rest of the writers in the Bible. What I'm about to say may sound like you have to work to either earn or keep your salvation. That's not my intention. That's not what I'm trying to say. These words in James, I want you to understand, are written to Christians who already believe in Jesus by faith. And we know that because in verse 19, he says, "Know this, my beloved brothers." He's not writing to the world. He's not doing what the gospel writers are doing, trying to get people to believe in Jesus. James is writing to people who already believe in Jesus. And so that's why it's important to understand the different genres of the Bible. When we read the Gospel of John, for instance, we're reading from a place where John is trying to get people to understand and believe in Jesus. That's not James. That's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to get people who already believe Jesus to live like they believe in Jesus. So it's important for us to know the differences of these genres and who these audiences are being written to. To understand in James, the understanding that we have here in James is the understanding of what we have in Paul and who we have in Peter, and that's faith leads to actions. Actionless faith is not saving faith. Now let me repeat that in case you want to misunderstand that or not hear all the words. Faith leads to actions. Actionless faith is not saving faith. Again, these are hard things to hear. These are hard things to understand, hard things to read. But I'm not alone in saying that. Charles Spurgeon says it this way. We are not saved by works. Yet the ultimate result of salvation must always be work. The cause of salvation lies in grace, but the effect of salvation appears in working. As sure as ever, the grace of God fills a soul, that soul desires to see others brought in. A.W. Tozer, another voice from church history, says it this way, "To escape the error of salvation by works, we have fallen into the opposite error of salvation without obedience." And as I think about that statement, what Tozer says, I think that is something that this county, this Bible Belt area needs to understand, needs to think about. As I have thought about this passage or this verse, this statement from Tozer, to escape the error of salvation by works, which that is an error, we aren't saved by works, but to escape that, we have fallen into the opposite error of salvation without obedience. And when you look at a community like ours, a region like the Bible Belt, where everyone goes to church, everyone says they believe the Bible, but our lives don't look different than those who don't go to church or don't believe the Bible, we're believing this lie that we don't have to obey the Bible. We do. Faith leads to works. This is a difficult topic. It's been the center of much debate over 2,000 years of church history. And so If you're struggling with this thought, you're not alone. My advice for us all is to follow what James is telling us in this passage. In your notes, be quick to hear. Now, James is writing this to Christians as advice for all types of things. But I want us to look at this specifically as we come to God's Word. This is good advice for us as we come to God's Word. Be quick to hear. When God's Word is presented to you, be quick to hear. Now, when someone says the Bible says, and they don't tell you where it says it, or they don't read it to you, that's not the same. But when someone opens up God's Word, or if you're studying the Bible yourself privately, be quick to hear from God and His Word. When you look to God's Word, or God's words are shown to you, be quick to hear. That's what James tells us. The next thing is, be slow to speak. The next thing that James says, as you hear God's Word, listen. As you hear, listen. Be slow to speak. Be slow to respond. There are difficult things in the Bible. Many of those things go against maybe the things you were told growing up or the things you've just come to believe naturally. There are things to struggle with in the Bible. When God is speaking, we do well to listen, to be slow to speak back, to be slow to respond. Be slow to anger. Because the Bible tells us things that are right and wrong from His perspective, we might get upset when we face God's holiness, when it doesn't go with our perceived notions of His holiness. We may get upset or angered. Now, anger is not necessarily a sin, but sometimes our anger can lead to sin. I'm giving us some difficult things to consider this morning. I'll go ahead and let you know, after our Psalms study this summer, we're going to spend a few weeks in the book of Jude. Jude is a little bitty letter, but it has some hard things for the church to hear. And so when we hear hard things, when we hear difficult things, we need to be slow to anger. This is God's Word to us. Now, James is writing to Christians, remember, when those who don't have faith in Jesus, they're not believing in God, when they get upset at God's Word, that's normal. That's to be expected. But as Christians, we submit to God's Word. We don't rebel. That's a big part of the difference between us as Christians and non-believers around us, is that we submit to God's Word. We don't rebel. We don't get angry. In your notes, the next two slides, I've got an extra word. I changed a little bit after I gave the slides up. So the next thing is to prepare and respond by putting away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Prepare and respond to God's Word by putting away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. As you prepare to read the Bible, and as you respond to what you read in the Bible, put away all filthiness and wickedness. Most of our Christian life is dying to ourselves. Most of what we do as Christians is dying to our desires that are not godly. We make the visible and conscious effort to obey God's Word privately, publicly, even when it's hard. We become transformed by God's Word by spending time in God's Word. Our mind is renewed by God as we meet Him in His Word. Prepare and respond by receiving with meekness the implanted Word of God. Prepare and respond by receiving the meekness, with meekness, the implanted Word of God. When we open God's Word to read it, We don't come to it demanding it tell us what we want to hear. We don't come to God's Word demanding it say the things we want it to say. We gently understand God is its author. He has something for us. Now, meekness is not a term that I really knew much about. I know we said it a lot in church growing up, but no one really gave me a good definition of what meekness was. The only thing I ever heard growing up was meekness is not weakness, and I didn't know what that even means. But when you think about meekness, is that a word that's unclear because you just don't use it that much? I had to look it up. Meekness has this idea of gentle quietness to it. When you think of someone who is meek, they will easily have their will imposed by another's will. That sounds like a negative thing. And perhaps it is on the schoolyard if a bully is bothering you. But when it comes to God's Word, this is the proper way to approach and respond to God's Word with meekness, to allow God's will to be imposed on our life as we spend time with God's Word with meekness. Be doers of the Word, not just hearers. James continues, be doers of the Word. Don't just hear without action. Also, don't did God's Word, or don't will do God's Word. Don't think of your obedience as what you've done in the past or what you might do in the future. Continually do God's Word. Don't stop. Be known as someone in your family, as someone in your church, as someone in the community, as someone who does God's Word. Sometimes we often want to compliment someone who seems to really know their Bible. We'll say something like, he really knows his Bible, or she really knows her Bible. If that knowledge doesn't express itself with loving biblical action, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that knowledge is really nothing. So how do we do the Word? How do we do the Bible? James continues, look into the perfect law. We spend time with God's Word, being quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry, removing sin from our lives. We gently and quietly spend time with God's Word and allow it to change us. Spend that kind of time with God. James continues, and persevere. Keep doing that. Keep it up, even when it's hard, even when your schedule gets busy, even when you're reading through something that's hard or boring. Keep it up. Persevere. Keep in God's Word. Stay in God's Word. Keep doing what it says, even if the world is against you, even if your churched friends don't understand. Follow James' instruction and keep doing what the Bible says. A big part of your God-given purpose in life is for you to know and follow God. That is a big part of why you're here, is to know and follow God. As a Christian, our identity is in Christ. As a Christian, our identity is in Christ. That's what Christian means. We know and understand that by following Jesus and responding to Him in the pages of His Word, the Bible. And James gives us this promise that we will be blessed in our doing. We will be blessed in the doing of the Word. He promises you will be blessed in your doing of God's Word. Even if trouble comes because you're doing God's Word, you will receive a blessing, because God's promise to you is that He will be with you and you will have blessing in your obedience. This glass, remember how the color has changed, The smell has changed. The taste has changed. This was a glass of water. You saw it, right? It has stayed in front of you the whole time. I didn't switch it. Would you call this water now? You wouldn't call it water, would you? It's tea. It's no longer water. It has changed. It has totally and wholly changed. Now, I was doing a little research into tea and water this week, and I was hoping to find some really cool chemistry stuff to really impress you with, to make you understand what is happening here, that maybe there's something chemically that has changed to further illustrate this point. You know what I found? Nothing. So we'll just call it quits and go home. No. Tea and water chemically are the same thing. Did you know that? I didn't. Tea and water are chemically the same thing. I was disappointed when I discovered that because I thought that would be a good thing to go home with, thinking about what has changed visibly in front of you. But it's not this, it's nothing's changed chemically. But does it look like what it was? You wouldn't even call it water because it's no longer water. Even if chemically it still is water. My experience with this tea is that it looks not like water. It doesn't smell like water. And it doesn't taste like water. It's gotten quite a bit stronger over the past few minutes. Maybe that's the point. That if you allow the Bible to change your world, you will be chemically the same as you were before. No different. But your experience with the world will be completely different when you spend time with God's Word. As you let it soak in your life and over your world, you will begin to look different. You'll begin to be different. Now, you may not smell or taste different, but you will think different. You will act different. And the world around you will notice. You will notice the difference. You may be naturally the same as everyone else. Supernaturally, you'll be different. Spiritually, you will not be the same. I'll invite the worship team to come back up. And as they're coming, are you needing your world to look different? Are you tired of your life looking and feeling like the rest of the world? Are you tired of your life acting like the rest of the world? Jesus says in the Bible, in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Before your world can truly change, you must surrender it to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He will give you rest from the burden you're trying to carry on your own. Trust in Him that He is who He says He is. Learn from Jesus in His Word, in the Bible. He wrote this to you. The entire book is written to you. Trust in Jesus. Make that trust known by baptism and make a lifelong commitment of learning from Jesus by reading His Word to us. Your world will change. It has to. I promise. Will you stand with me as we pray? God, we thank you for this time together in your word. You have been good to us through this series, helping us to fall in love a little bit more with what you've written to us. Lord, help us to soak your word into our lives, that we may look and act different, think different, and be transformed by it as we go out into the world and prove our salvation, not by earning it, but by proving it through doing your word. You are good to us. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.